Lyndon Richard?
Hello?
Yes, hi, Don.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thanks. Good. And you?
Very good, thank you. How's activity? Looks like Linda's got a few things going.
Yep. A few things.
Are you seeing activity? Are you seeing activity pick up?
Yeah, people are looking to buy. It's just trying to find the right properties that can be financed. You know, you can't, you know, it's, yeah, I am. You know, it's just directing them to the right properties. You know, that's all that, you know, depending on what they're buying, and, you know, the bank guidelines, you know, depending how much they're putting down, if they're going FHA, you know, bank owned or out, you know, it depends.
Right.
So.
Right.
Some of them, you're looking for a needle in a haystack for a couple of them that I'm looking for right now. You know, it's just kind of like directing them, like they want to look at a lot of different ones that they see. You know, you have to tell them you can't buy those. You know, they look nice, but you can't go in them because your bank won't allow you to buy them, you know, because, you know, it's not going to work. So,
now, when you say it's not going to work, what are you referring to? 'Cause...
Well, here, we have a lot of bank-owned properties. First of all, they're all winterized. And so you can't, if you're doing like only like, you have to put at least 20% down. And a couple of them that I have now, are like, when I just put together, the house wasn't winterized. They had a ton of money to put down. A couple that I have right now, they're only putting like, say, 5% down. You can't buy that. The banks won't allow you to buy a house that's not winterized, and the banks here won't dewinterize. You can't buy foreclosed properties. So you have to stay away from them all. So there's a lot of good deals out there. You can't get financing.
Right.
So, okay. And then I had to switch a couple of buyers. We have out here, we have Rhode Island Housing, which a lot of people go to Rhode Island Housing first. And Rhode Island Housing is requiring any vacant houses. The underwriter is requiring to see the inspection report. So you want to go to a good deal, they go through this inspection report with a fine-tooth comb, and they want everything done. And so repaired by the seller, the bank's not going to repair it. So you can totally forget it. So you have to go to an owner-occupied or a house that's not vacant. So, you know, it, like, cuts out, it's like three-quarters of everything that's on the market, you know, so...
Wow, that much?
More, even more than that, yeah. So it's like, you know, you have to, you know, weed through all these houses and say, you know, they'll say, oh, I want to see this, 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 and that. And I'm like, you can't buy any of those houses. So, you know, it's hard to find what they want. And so...
They're just limited because of their down payment. Is that correct?
Yeah. Now, I have someone that, a new client I met with on Saturday, she's got $80,000 to put down, so she's going to be able to do whatever she wants, you know. So, it, you know, it all depends, you know. And so,
the only people who are really limited to what they can buy are those who don't have a lot of money down, or
right.
At least 20% down. Okay.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Richard, tell me, you had a couple things. You had a couple of showings last time we talked. How are you doing?
Well, I went out and I showed this couple five houses on Saturday, and they decided that they were in love with one of the houses. So what I like to do is verbally arrive at a meeting of the minds before I put anything in writing. So that has been accomplished, and I'm actually meeting the buyer. I'm going to have to limit my time on this call, Don. I tried to work around it, but I'm going to have about a half hour. I'm not going to have the full hour to spend with you today because
okay.
I have to go meet. Yeah, I have to go meet the buyer. He's an accountant, and he has meetings all day today, and he's only got a small window that he can meet me at. But I have all the paperwork, the contract, and all that stuff all written up. I did that last night, so I'm going to meet with him about 3 o'clock this time here in Eastern time, and we're going to finalize all the paperwork, and I'm going to fax it over to the listing agent. So. It was a pleasure working with this buyer. This is a buyer that was referred over to me from their parents, who actually listed with me and sold with me like 23 years ago, one of my first clients, really. So it was a pleasure to work with him and his girlfriend, the young couple, first-time home buyers, which I specialize in them. And, I prepared them. You know, we went over the steps that it takes to make a successful bid on a house. And, you know, I told them some of the pitfalls that first-time home buyers make and coming in with ridiculously low offers, wanting to put down $100 for a deposit, ridiculous things like that. So we covered all those, and they were okay with every one of them. And I'll tell you, if all my buyers were like this, I'd be a millionaire. So this one's most likely going to go down successfully. So that's where I'm at with that one, Don.
Okay. How about both of you as far as prospecting efforts? I still haven't seen anything from either one of you on that.
Well, I only did a weekly. I had a couple of listing appointments this week that I went
okay.
on. One of them I went on Saturday. I'm still looking at numbers, and I think it's very tight. It's a house in Barrington. It's one of the areas that the market really didn't touch. Well, it's one of the areas in the state that didn't lose as much value, but he already took equity out a couple of years ago, and he hasn't done any work to the house. So he's a friend of mine, and, you know, I don't really see, I think he's very close, you know, so I don't know, you know, he's just like, you know, I don't know if he'll break even or if he's just, you know, end up going to the closing table, having to bring money. So I have to get back to him on that. Another friend of mine called me on Friday. He's got a three-family with a separate piece of land in Providence. He's going to call me back this week. He might want to list. And I checked back with, I have two more that called me back, actually, that I had already had talked with previously. So those are the four I had, you know, going back. You know, so.
Okay.
Anyway, and negotiating a commercial lease that I have. I'm supposed to hear back this afternoon. I pretty much have that wrapped up. And what else? And this woman that owns that commercial building that I had already given a market analysis, she owns 46 properties. So she's a really good contact.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. Her husband just died, and so now she's stuck, and she doesn't know what to do now, how to run a business and how to run all these businesses. And so she said, I need someone to help me, show me how to run a business, especially now, she says, I'm involved running 46, a property management company that I don't know what to do with and how to run a business. So she needs, like, someone to help her. You know, she needs a business coach. So
she does.
So I kind of suggested you. Do you do that?
Yeah.
All right. So I gave her your name, but I said, so I have a referral for you.
Okay, great. Do you want to give me her number and I'll follow up with her, or do you want me to... You want to introduce me? What do you want to do?
Well, I emailed her because her your name because and she's because today because she said you know she's in a mess and you know because she has no clue what she's doing. You know, I mean, one thing she owns is a huge tennis club in East Providence. Like multi-properties and management. I mean, like, I have no idea, like, all the things that she owns. And she said, you know, I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm running around like crazy. And I said, she said, I need someone to help me get my life and my companies, my business all back in. I said, well, I said I hired a coach. And I said, I don't know if he can help you, but I'm going to give you his name. And so, I emailed your name, and I didn't know if you dealt with other businesses. So
I do, yeah.
Okay. She said, I need someone to help me. So,
can you send me an email when you?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. I'd be happy to talk to her.
Okay. All right. And
let me ask you. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, it might help, help her, help me, and, help
Good.
Her get on track, too. Yeah.
Good.
And that's it. I almost had my one deal fall apart, but I held it together. My buyers tried to actually kind of extort these sellers in this deal on an inspection.
You're kidding.
We did the inspection on this house, and they took this inspection report. The house was assessed at $260,000. We got it at $193,000. It was a nice colonial. The seller was an 81-year-old man, and the other agent made the mistake by letting this nice little man come to the inspection. And my two young buyers, who were first-time buyers, but they were not stupid buyers. One of them did mortgage processing, does for 7 years, and the other one. I mean, they're both well-educated, ton of money in the bank, and they have a ton of money. And the father was giving them another $20,000 to put down. I mean, they had another $100,000 sitting in the bank. I mean, it's like they're not poor, and they knew exactly what they wanted. So they went in, and they knew they were buying a house that the roof was older and the windows were older, but the house was in great condition inside. So, but they met this little guy, this little man at the home inspection, and they cornered him upstairs, and I didn't know. And he's saying, the windows are older, and he's saying, oh, do you need new windows? And they're saying, well, you know, it's coming out of our pocket and this and that. And, well, could you put a new roof on? Well, I didn't know it needed the roof. And, well, nothing failed on inspections. So anyways, they got his phone number, and they started calling him at home. And the other agent found out, and so he called me, and I said, I'm putting a stop to this right now. And, you know, and I said to them, I said, inspections are, according to your contract, everything is done in writing, and your request to put in writing. And on top of it, you know, the roof was fine on the inspection report, and you had gone in there with your brochures from the window company, and you had planned on doing this, and you had money put away for this. And, well, anyways, they said, well, he said he'll do it. Let him do it. You know, this whole big thing. Well, they put their list of requests into $33,000 of repairs they wanted done on this house. $33,000. Or they said, look, in this letter to the seller, or we want to change our purchase and sales agreement to $160,000. Like, you don't just change your mind and change your price, right? So the deal's going to fall apart. So as I said, I talked to my broker and I said, well, you know, what do I do? And she said, well, they can ask for the world, but they're not going to get the world. And on top of it, the other agent who's a seasoned real estate agent, another REMAX agent, another company, is just going to squash it and put them down to size or say goodbye, you know? And so I told him, I said, look, this is what they're asking for. I sent it over to him. And I got the best reply in the world from the seller, this 81-year-old man, the next day. It was the best letter. I'm saving it forever. The letter said, I realized that I'm a buyer and that I should even tell it to you. It's best. I'll read it to you. I received your letter of late that contained many inaccuracies, and I realize that you're a first-time buyer and want a safe and happy new home. Therefore, I respectfully suggest that with so many houses on the market that would fulfill your requirements and needs, that you should buy one that would not have all these faults that you find, most of which I do not agree with. I wish you the best in finding a new home that you will be happy with, and I ask God to watch over all of you. With respect, Tommy. And then it says, P.S. The only concession I will make on this house will be $5,000 for the cost of new windows and $1,000 for plumbing, a total of $6,000. Again, I wish you the best. So, not their $33,000. So I emailed it to them. So I'm like, see what they say.
And okay, you haven't heard back from them?
Yeah, they called me back and they said, we'll take it.
Very classy.
It was the best letter ever because he kind of like said in the nicest way,
take it away. Yeah.
You'll go find another house. You know,
and
go find.
He didn't piss him off. He just.
Very good. Yeah, and so we put the deal together.
Listen, I think that's great. A good lesson is keep buyers and sellers apart as much
never
as possible.
Never let them together. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your buyer was a little manipulative. There's no doubt about that.
Oh my God, greed. Yep.
Greedy. Okay, listen, a couple things I want to ask you guys before, because we've got like five sessions left here, and three sessions, I guess. Some stuff in the book, like the four components of a great listing presentation are in chapter 19, and then we get into chapter 20. Or session 20, and it's all about handling objections like a pro. And then 21 is, how to create differentiation, commission issues, affirmations of your value. I'm happy to go through those with you if you're good with that.
Okay. I read them last night. Yep.
Well, in chapter 9 or session 19, it talks about the four components of a great listing presentation, and many people look at. And we've got a new series out that you've probably seen in advertising, a listing presentation, along with PowerPoint for like maybe it's the sale price is 147. I'm not sure what it is, to be honest with you. But it's, you know, if you're lacking in listing presentations, it's kind of a turnkey listing presentation. For those people who don't have, a real good package presentation. But the whole idea is the four components of a great listing presentation if you'll notice that the four components have very little to do with the listing presentation itself. It's confidence, conviction, enthusiasm, and assertiveness. And in this marketplace, if you look at some of the things that we see in listings, as we've talked kind of ad nauseum on this subject, but the confidence to go in and be able to say, this is what your home is worth. The confidence to know, to be fully convinced that you are the person for the job. You can't go in, half-heartedly. You've got to go in with confidence that you are the best person for the job. What are you going to do in order to come across as the best person for the job? What do you have to know?
All about the property.
You have to know all about the property. You have to know all about the comparables, what's out there, what am I comparing it to. I have to know that I'm strong on pricing. And if I'm not strong on pricing, then, I'm not going to come across as confident. I'm going to go in there and go, well, what do you think it's worth, Mr. Seller? Okay, bad idea. Based on everything we've shared, you know that pricing is key. Conviction talks about, what is conviction? It is you being convinced that what you will sell this home for is what it's worth. It doesn't matter what they think they want or what they think they need for the house. Those two factors have nothing to do with value. Agreed?
Mm-hmm.
You have to have the conviction to know what your walk-away price is and then the conviction to be able to walk away. Yeah, I was talking with someone earlier, and, back when I was selling real estate, this was really kind of a key issue. It was something that I strove for myself, to be the top lister of the month and the top sales of the month. And, those were things that meant a lot to me for some weird reason. Back then it truly was a measure of how productive you were. You get a plaque a month. It was some of it was a competition, some of it was my own ego. And then somebody was telling me about, so and so from our office was the lister of the month. And it just hit me. It just hit me like square in the face. But that's really the last thing you want to be in this marketplace is the top lister, per se. And why do I say that? It's simply because if that's my goal, is to list the most properties volume-wise, then I will not have the conviction to walk away from those overpriced listings that I take. In other words, the mentality that's always been is list to last, and if you're not listing, you're not long for this business. List or lose. These kinds of statements are out there, all over the place. Please don't misunderstand. Listings are absolutely important, but the four components of a great listing. One is, remember, it's confidence. Okay. Confidence that I'm doing the right thing. It's confidence that I'm before I go on a listing appointment, I go to the bank and I write a check for cash for $1,500, and I take those $1,500 crisp bills and stick them into my pocket. And when I go into that listing presentation, I know that I'm going to give up that $1,500 when I'm satisfied that I got it for the right price. Because if I got it for the right price, I'm willing to invest my marketing dollars, my time, effort, and energy into that listing, which means that $1,500 now no longer belongs to me. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it's spent. It's gone. Would you invest $1,500 into something just because you're a nice person?
Not anymore.
Don't you have the right to expect a return from every dollar, every minute that you put into this business? That's the conviction, okay? And I like that illustration, of thinking of, before every listing, I'm mentally going to the bank. I'm cashing a $1,500 check. Now, is this one I would invest in? Or is it more important for my ego that I walk out of here with a listing, even if it won't sell? Okay, remember, we're business people, so we're not going to do that. Enthusiasm. Enthusiasm sells. You've heard that statement before. Enthusiasm says, okay, look, I believe in this market. I'm up. I'm excited. I got a smile on my face. Doesn't mean it's all, we're not talking about a dumb smile, enthusiasm because I don't know any better. I'm enthusiastic because in a tough market, I know what to do. I'm enthusiastic because I know I can help you, Mr. Seller. I'm enthusiastic because this is how I make my living. This is my lifeblood. This is my bread. This is the bread I put on the table for my family. I know this business. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And then assertiveness is, again, it's assertiveness and confidence really, really kind of go hand in hand. You go back a while back when we talked about a little bit about time blocking, and I think I mentioned to you guys that you wanted to create time slots for your appointments. Okay, so when you went on got a call for someone who wanted to list their house or a buyer, you knew what you had available. Instead of asking the question that most agents do, when would you like me to come over? When would you like to meet? You're going to take control of that situation by saying, I've got an opening at 2 and one on 4 on Wednesday. Which one works best for you? That's assertiveness. That's taking control, yet I still gave you, my buyer or seller, an option. I didn't tell you I wasn't so assertive that I said, we'll meet at 6. Okay?
Okay.
I said, I have an opening at 2 and one at 4. Which one works better for you? Okay? Remember, subconsciously, when you start a conversation like that, you have shown them that you are in control. Do you think people hire you? Well, I would say that it is true. There are a lot of sellers out there who think they're doing you a favor by giving you a job. That's the wrong approach. And if you're confident, if you're assertive, if you're enthusiastic, you decide whether you want the listing or not. It shows confidence, integrity. Assertiveness. When I say, Mr. Jones, this listing presentation is about my interview of you to try to determine whether or not I want to work with you, and your interviewing of me to try to determine whether you want to work with me. So we're both kind of feeling each other out to try to figure out if we want to work together. Okay. Versus, oh gosh, I sure would like your listing. Oh yeah, whatever you want.
Right.
Can you see the difference?
Big difference.
The next page on this in 19 says, "Getting your home sold." The meeting agenda, and this one and the page after that, both Real Estate Champions Personal Professional Services provided to represent the interests of a home seller. Prepare an objective analysis of your home and current market. Provide counsel as to your best pricing strategy. Provide value-enhancing home preparation advice. This should be in your presentation. Supply my name and sign which provides quality professional positioning, provides thorough promotion of your home to find your best buyer. Again, what are these things that you do to get yourself in those positions? But that's a great form, you know. But when you're getting your home sold, let's go back to that page, getting to know you, okay? You know, what are your wants, your needs, your expectations? You know, when I sold real estate, I think the very first thing I did was, you know, I'd say, you know, give me a tour of your home, you know. And I'd follow along with a notebook and pad in hand, and we would you know go through each room, and I'd make some comments, and I'd jot some notes, and so on and so forth. And then after that, I would sit down at the table together with both of them, and just go through this process. What are they trying to accomplish? What's the best outcome they could be looking for? What are their expectations of me? You know, why do they want to move? Why do they need to move? What kind of a time frame are we in? You know, again, I'm looking to get to know them, okay? I want to know where they are, you know, so I can assess, you know, what the difference between getting their home sold today or getting it sold in a month or 2 months, what kind of pressure is that going to put on them? You know, because it may make a difference in what I suggest the listing price is. You know, if they feel pressure right now, last thing I want to do is walk out of there with a price that's equal to value. I want to be below value if I already know I'm under pressure. Make sense?
Right.
Okay. You know, get to know the home, and that's what I did. And that my first walkthrough is get an idea of, you know, okay, look, I can get most of the information from a trio or whatever you guys call them these days, from a title company. You know, 4-bedroom, 3-bath, 2,130 square feet. You know, double car garage, 536 square feet. You know, fenced backyard. I can get a lot of that information, but what I want to do is I want to go through the house and see, you know, what kind of upgrades, what kind of downgrades, what kind of, you know, what kind of updating does it need? When was it updated last? Discuss my professional representation services, and that's really on the next page. You know, go through this list of things. Discuss my satisfaction guarantee. That's on the next page. It's on one of these pages. I thought we had a guarantee in there. Guess we don't. If you have a guarantee, this would be where you would do it. Most people will give, you know, a lot of people will do a 30-day, you know, 120-day satisfaction guarantee, meaning, you know, and it's all about communication. Or, you know, I wouldn't give a satisfaction guarantee if they're not going to list price according to my assessments. You want to assure your confidence that you can get the home sold for X. You want to estimate your probable buyer's value. Estimate your probable buyer's value. Discuss your price strategies. You know, this is what I do. You know, with price strategies in this marketplace, remember, you know, one of your goals is get ahead of the curve. You know, if you do a market trends right now, some of the market trends I'm seeing show, 30 houses sold, and they sold in, you know, for 97% of value. Why did they sell for 97% of value? Because out of the 120 listings that were there, 30 of them were priced well, so they sold within, you know, 87 days, and they sold at almost full value. Okay. When you start to realize that, you go, okay, the importance is, you know, what my market trends show. You know, there are 40 houses in this price range. We're averaging 5 a month. That means your home is going to take 8 months to sell unless we do something different to enhance the value, to make it, you know, come to the front of the pack. Make sense?
Right. Yeah.
Select your listing price. Start getting your home sold. You know, and these are, you know, these are all important parts of this process. You know, remember, when you're in control, it is, you know, it's about Mr. Jones, let me show you how I work. Let me tell you how I work. Let me, you know, again, you have to know how you work. Again, that brings in confidence, assertiveness. You know, and you begin to take more and more control. After this real estate champion, personal professional services, there's a sample opening to a listing presentation. First, I'm going to reconfirm with you the questions I asked you on the phone the other day. You know, again, you want to do some pre-qualifying. You know, if you go on to some of the objection handling scripts in the BTL, the Video Training Library. I know Dirk and I did a bunch of objection handling series on those things, and some of them just blow your mind how direct and forceful Dirk would have been if he was trying to get the listing appointment. Okay? You know, Mr. Jones, do you fully intend to list with me tonight? Well, that's pretty direct. Okay, well, I'm not sure. Okay,
wow.
How to deal with that? So when you look at these sample openings, first I want to reconfirm with you the questions that I asked over the phone. Okay, you do a pre-listing phone conversation with you. You want to talk about your needs. You want to get some of this stuff in advance before you actually go over there so you can be prepared. Talk about the expectations of service from me. Everybody always has expectations. Buyers have expectations. Sellers have expectations. Richard, are you still there? Richard?
I don't know. I'm here.
Okay, he said he was going, so. Do you have any questions for me, Linda?
Mm-mm.
Okay, this is a really good, this really good section here. You might take a little bit of time and go through it yourself.
Yeah.
I think you're doing pretty good on.
I printed that up and I read that through.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, she. That was emailed, and so I printed that up yesterday, and I read that.
Okay.
You know, as far as that goes, yeah.
Okay. And on your inventory, the stuff that you do have, you know, is making sure that we have the price reduction.
Yeah, that one I have in Warren. He doesn't want to go down, so I'm going to, you know, and last time I talked to him, you know, actually I think it was like the week before last, he doesn't want to go down. So there's nothing more I can do. And the piece of land, I'm getting action. Actually, I have someone who has a house in Warwick, and they're waiting for it to sell, and he has interest in it.
Okay.
So, I mean, so I get tons of calls on it. It's got a great location. It's right near Waterman Lake. So, you know, so that we're just keeping on the market. It's a friend of mine that lives nearby. So, you know, and I get this, a week doesn't go by, I don't get a call on that land. So,
okay.
The same buyer has been calling me on it, who, you know, he's waiting for his house to get sold and he's very interested in it. So I'm just letting that sit. And,
okay.
But I know I have to put in, I have to put out some more listings. I know that. And, you know, it's true. I'm just, people are contacting me that I know, and I haven't been going out and doing enough. I've been, it's, buyers take up too much time, and it's, but I've been just getting some referrals from, some from friends of mine that have been giving me referrals. So, you know, I'm taking them because I have them, because they're approved, and so I'm you know, so I'm going to take a, I have three good ones right now. I'm going to try to get them into pending in the next couple of weeks, and I know I have to focus on getting some more listings, so so I know what I got to do.
Okay. Okay. Well, definitely, if you're, you know, as far as if you're prospecting and so on and so forth, that's great. You know, it sounds like you're creating some additional leads and opportunities for yourself.
Yeah.
You seem more positive, but, of course, you've had more activity in the last couple months than you have for a while, too.
I know. Well, I know.
Are you feeling like you're coming out the other end a little more, a little less stress? I know you're still probably under some financial pressure because that takes a while to go away, but at least maybe can you see the end of the tunnel or see the light at the end of the tunnel?
I don't know. You know, I'm not worrying anymore because there's nothing I can do about that.
Yeah, that worrying thing.
I just, you know, it's just I'm working. You know, I work every day. And so that's it. And
okay.
If, you know.
Well, that's the most important thing that you can do.
It's just
is keep busy, stay focused, do the right things.
And
you
then
know,
they'll
pick
give
up
me referrals. You know, if I make everyone
right.
happy, then they're going to give me referrals. You
right.
know, these people. I mean, even these people that kind of like stirred a little bit. Now they're happy. These people that are, these other people that are closing in a couple of weeks, they're so happy, you know. And they said, oh, Linda, anyone that we know I'll get referrals from them, you know. And then, you know, just people that I know, they'll call me up, oh, you know, and out of the blue and say, oh, you know, I have a house and a piece of land. I'm going to call you next week. Do you think you could help me with it? And I'm like, sure, call me. You know,
right.
and so... So it's people that I've been in contact with, and so it's just keep doing what I'm doing, but I know I need to do more. So,
right.
And so I'm going to just keep on working.
Keep on working, you know.
That's it. There's no other way.
Well, you know, again, you know, I shared the same conversation with another client of mine this morning, and you know, he was saying, oh, man, I've got so many leads, I can't believe it. Because he's been on the phone. He's been consistent for the last 45 days. I said, the one thing you cannot afford to do is, you know, get caught up in all of those leads and drop what got you there in the first place.
I know.
You know, if you've got to cut back on your, you know, if you've got to cut it back from an hour to 45 minutes, then do that. But stay consistent because, you know, when you're prospecting, it's rare that somebody gets on the line and says, oh, man, Linda, I'm so glad to hear from you. I was just thinking about selling my house. Can you come over tonight? That's pretty rare. You know, you're planting seeds when you're picking up the phone and making phone calls. And some of those seeds are going to come back in the next day. Some of them are going to come back in the next week or the next month or 2 months or 6 months down the road. You know, so you got to keep planting. You got to keep planting. And watering and letting them grow.
Yep.
You know, and so keep that part up. That's one of the easiest things to do, and it seems to be one of the easiest things not to do.
Yeah.
You know, stay focused on your prospecting. You will see results. You may not see immediate results every day, but if you'll do it and you'll be consistent, you will start telling me how busy you are.
I hope so. I, you know, It's all you know, trying to do the right thing, and you know, and my office is good too. It really is. I mean, I don't go to my office that much. I do work a lot out of my home, but my brokers, I mean, they are the best. And you know, so you know, I need to talk to anyone I call. Eileen, my broker, and actually, she is she's a certified. She does Brian Buffini coaching, so she even said, "Linda, I'll give you that for free, do that whole thing." And I said, "You know," I said, "You know," and she said, "Linda, I'm not going to let things anything this year." She said, "You know, I'll help you with anything you want this year." You know, and they're really great people. You know, my office is like a family. You know,
uh-huh.
And, I mean, I work. You know, it's a good place that I'm at. So as far as that goes, you know, it just
sounds like
it costs a lot of money. But
it's great that you have such a supporting office. I think that's very powerful. It's very makes it very, very positive environment to work in.
Yeah.
And if they support they support your success. Those are positive.
Yeah.
Those are very positive.
You know, and it's just, I don't know. So.
Well, you need to believe that you're, again, this kind of goes back to those top four. You need to believe.
I know. I do think I'm going to make it. And then I just keep on planning. All right, you know, I'm going to get a couple more into pending, you know, because, you know, for the next month. So,
right.
I get more listings. So it's whatever I look for, I'm going to get. Because for a while I said, I need some quick buyers, so I got them. But now I need more listings, so now I'm, you know, I need to put more listings on the market.
Right.
You know, last year I just took a lot of listings, and I did sell a lot of them. They just wouldn't take even their good prices, you know. But you know.
Right. Well, you know, again, it is, you know, it's putting that foot forward every single day and saying, look, I would take it just a notch further. You said, I think I'm going to make it. I know you're going to make it. You need to change that verbiage into.
Well, I have to make it. I have no choice but to make it. I don't have any other choice. So, because I'm not going to get, do anything else, but I have to. So there's no other option here.
If you have to, then decide you will. There are no other options.
There is no option.
You can't think you're going to be okay. You have to know you're going to be okay.
I don't have a choice.
Right.
So, you know, I have to make money, so I will. You know.
Okay.
There's no alternative. So I will. No. So yeah, I feel better than I did last year. I mean, you know. So.
Well, you sound better too. You sound better. You sound like okay. Well, you still got to turn that corner on belief.
You know,
just believe you can, and then utilize the actions to stay on top of it.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
I will.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
I'm gonna be talking to this woman this afternoon too, and.
Okay.
Give her your information to see if she really wants to go do anything, you know.
Okay.
And maybe I'll get you a referral.
Well, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Do you need my information, or you got it all?
I have it all.
Okay.
Yeah. You never know where anything will go, but that's how I get all my business, you know.
I
give referrals to everyone, and it comes back to me, you know.
Cool.
So. Yeah, that's
All right. Well, good luck with that, and I will talk to you in 2 weeks, if not before,
All right.
Okay?
All right. Thanks. Bye.